B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, so in addition to taking inventory today, you know, what the major question is, who are they? And we have to answer honestly. We start off with Doug when it comes to the grading process. This week's about inventory week. You got to take inventory of yourself. And we're going to do that. And we're going to do that with giving grades and assessing where they're at, certain positions, and in coaching staff. So we're going to take Doug right now. What grade are you going to give Doug for the first 9 games of the season? Tunis, I'll start with you.
B, maybe even B minus. And I think Doug has coached better in the last couple of weeks. I thought he did not design good enough game plans the first half of the season, so the first 5 games. But recently, I think he's been doing a better job, but I still...
He was real good against Buffalo, real good against Green Bay.
Right. I still don't get certain play calls, like the one against Chicago, the 3rd and 2 right inside the 5-yard line, the screen to Miles Sanders when they had him out wide when you were getting push all that entire first quarter against the Bears front. At that point, I would have said, why not just run the ball? Now, I get it. If Ertz makes the block, then it's a touchdown. Well, here's the other thing. Why have Ertz there then? Have Dallas Goedert, who's actually a better blocking tight end. That's play design. That's scheme. That's all that kind of stuff. So I still think Doug's a good coach, but I'm going to give him a B- right now.
All right. You're on the record. B-. I'm going to keep it. So Doug's our first one. So this hour, when you call up, I also want you to grade Doug and see what you think. And let's think about it. What's he done well? What is he not done well? One of the things that I deduct points is how they start games, their game plan. The game plan hasn't been good.
It was a good sign that last week they opened with a field goal, and then out of the first half, at halftime, they opened with a touchdown. So that was a good sign that the 2 starting drives of the first quarter and the 3rd quarter, they got points on the board.
Yeah.
It's a good sign.
Yeah. Yeah, you know. Well, great, but yeah, I agree. Good sign. DJ, you're on 97.5, the Fanatic DJ.
Hey, what's going on, cuz?
Yo, DJ.
I give Doug a C-. I thought he's made a real commitment to the run over the past couple of weeks. But I give him like a C-. Just some of his play calling in certain spots of the game just has been a little questionable. But I'm not really up on the Eagles. I'm a little down on them. You know, they didn't make any moves at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
They had a chance to get Josh Gordon, you know, who's not, you know, the most reliable, but he has to be better than a Matt Hollins. And, you know, I thought they should have made a push because it wasn't going to cost you anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's $1 million salary, no draft picks. But if it doesn't work out, then you can cut him. But, you know, if you got to put a claim in on him, like, that was just disappointing. So I don't know where the Eagles are in terms of, you know, what their goals are for this season. So I'm not really up on them. You still got questions with the DBs and the wide receivers.
You know,
I want to believe that the defense is better, but, you know, they went up against 2 kind of mediocre offenses the last couple of weeks.
Actually, bad quarterbacks. I mean, those quarterbacks are bad. Yeah.
So, and, you know, and the way this team is built, they're not built to play from behind. They have to play with the lead because they're just not explosive. And, you know, if you get a lead with that run game, you know what I mean? You can kind of milk the clock out, you know, Doug can kind of, you know, draw up some plays, but when you're playing from behind, you really can't run your offense. So,
right. Like, you encapsulated my opinion. I look at him and I go, yeah, you're good enough to beat the Bills and the Bears, but I don't think you're good enough to beat the Niners.
Right? Right.
Like you're going to have to score. You're going to have to score. Like, I get it. You know, you beat Green Bay, short week. I don't know. Is that an anomaly? But I don't think you can do it. I don't think you can win that style against the Saints, against these teams out west.
Yeah.
You know, I don't say it.
Right. Like, I'm not even so sure the Giants game's a locks at this point. Because, I mean, I know they have their errors, but, you know, Daniel Jones can throw the ball a little bit. So, you know, I just don't have faith in these corners.
Yeah.
Or that pass rush, you know. I don't know, guys. I'm kind of down.
Yeah, I know. It sucks. I feel the same way.
Yeah. Just to give you a heads up, too, you know, your boy Nicky Six is returning. So, you know, you're going to have more critics coming out about Carson in the next couple weeks.
I know. I saw that. I heard a guy call the morning show today, and he said Carson Wentz was exposed. And I'm going exposed.
I don't agree.
From what? From were you exposed? He was exposed to bad receivers. Yeah.
Yeah, but or you look at Nick Foles, like the way he played before, you know, he left. Like he wasn't playing great. He had some good spots, but right. You know, he played mediocre football too. So you know, don't just I don't know. We'll see how it plays out. Cause you have a good one.
You too, brother. You too. Yeah, I mean, you and I were staring at each other in disbelief when we heard that call this morning. Carson Wentz was exposed. Like, how do you come to that conclusion?
What?
Right? Like, how do you come to go, hey, yeah, you know, all right, he was exposed. He was exposed to bad hands, to bad receivers. Yeah, and they go, oh, you're always making excuses. Well, wow, the receiver's not bad. You tell me, are they good? Or are they epically bad? Epically horrible, these receivers. Chris in Allentown wants to talk about him. Chris, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yo, Ed, how you guys doing, man? Love the show. I listen to you guys, everybody, from 5:30 in the morning until 5:30 at night. I get a 12-hour shift with you guys every day, man. I've been trying to call in the last couple of weeks to talk to you about the wide receivers, and everything you say is spot on with that. My concerns right now is, like, why we're on a bye week right now. Why don't we bring in J.J. Nelson? Why don't we bring in Dez Bryant? Let's bring in Jordy Nelson. Let's bring in a handful of wide receivers.
Yes.
Carson Wentz out there in a pair of shorts and let him throw the ball. And see who's going to fit with this offense. I heard this morning on Schefter was saying, you know, we can't just bring a guy in. It's not going to help this team anymore. What is Schefter looking at?
I know. I
mean, what are you looking at, Schefter?
Like, I mean, this idea of you can't bring – where are they going? Like, the idea of risk. What are you risking? What? You're already not going to make the playoffs probably. It's insane.
Look at Emmanuel Sanders in 2 weeks of being with the 49ers and what he did. You're telling me you can't plug anybody in right now that's going to be better than Nelson Aguilar, better than Matt Collins. I cannot stand Matt Collins. Every time he celebrates, man, I want to punch him through the TV. Like, you don't belong out there celebrating with our offense for a first down, a second down, a third down, for any freaking down. You need to be on the freaking the block. You know what I'm saying? It gets me very frustrated because we have this high hopes in this season. And we should have known. I knew. I said as soon as Deshaun Jackson went out that second week, they said it was Abden there. I said, he's out for the season. He's not coming back.
I know. That's right there. That's horrible. That was a crushing blow to the season.
Absolutely.
And crushing blow.
I agree with C+. That third and two, that screen pass. Like, why are we getting cute there? There's no reason to get cute there. Pound the rock right up the middle. Doug Peterson's doing he's doing like almost a below average coaching this season. I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know if it's the 12 personnel. They can't get everything plugged in. But I'd also like to throw in a grade for the wide receivers. I'm going to give them an I for incomplete.
Yeah. Or you can go OPI for all the offensive pass interference calls.
I love you guys, man.
Thanks, brother.
I love you.
Thanks,
man,
Chris.
Go Birds.
Listen, we always end Go Birds. We love Birds. Love them. But if we're taking inventory today, it does us no good to be Pollyanna. It doesn't no good to just be. It's when you look at it realistically. Now you feel good.
I'm in a good place right now.
Are you still in a good place after the first hour of the show?
Yes, I'm still in a good place.
Because I have not moved anywhere near you because I haven't heard anything. In fact, most of the callers
kind of on your side.
We kind of agree.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not sitting here with my face painted green, shirt off, waving, going, Super Bowl, here we go.
Listen, that's cool. Yeah, please do. I got no problem with that. But I need to feel where you feel. I don't see what you see.
I just think they're, as I said, Doug Peterson right now through 9 weeks, a B-. I think that can change because I think he now knows, all right, moving forward, we don't have Deshaun. And right now the ground game's what's worked. So maybe that grinded out offense that we talked about is the direction that they need to head in. And I think the offensive line is like that the last 2 weeks too. They've played well. And I know the defense.
Again, I'm with you. I get it. Grind it out. scoring plays of 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 plays. Okay, those are the scoring drives. Tell me how that wins without a defense, because when you go that route, like the Ravens, you have a defense that's good. This is an average, mediocre defense.
I agree.
Okay, well then, what football recipe book does grind it out and mediocre defense equal Super Bowl?
I'm not talking Super Bowl. Okay. I just want to win the division at this point.
When does that equal 10 wins?
It equals when you have to play these Redskins still one more time, the Giants twice.
You get my point, though.
I do get your point.
I mean, I don't know how you could feel good with that game plan. Like, I would if the defense was better, but it's not.
I'm still in a good place.
All right. I'm not trying. Listen, I may sound like this is a cry for help. I'm really I want to feel the way you. Mikey Miss feels good about him. So I want to be with you and Mike.
I just look at that second half of the schedule. Home games, which is nice. You got through that 3 road game stretch. You're back home. It's not that difficult of a schedule after New England and Seattle.
The Patriots.
Uh-huh.
Are they going to beat the Patriots?
They haven't scared me this year. Wow.
All right.
TB42 or whatever his age is now.
I hope you're right. That's a little disrespectful to Brady, but whatever.
I hope I'm right too.
I hope you're right. You feel like they're going to win that game, do you?
I don't feel bad about it right now. Like what, 10 days before? We'll see how I'm feeling when we get closer.
The minute I watched the first quarter of the Sunday night game, I started to feel sick because you knew how the game was going to play out. So it plays out, and then all I kept thinking about is, now we got to deal with Belichick's revenge. He was pissed off in that game. Did you see his face?
Yes, he was not happy.
As that game went on, I mean, it was the fourth quarter, he had this look of, he looked like he was in Siberia.
He may not have slept since.
Like he had this, you know, Russian stare in Siberia. He had the military stare going on. Did you see that?
Yeah, that doesn't scare me.
All right. Scares me. 610-632-0975. Let me tell you about a little primo action. It's a bye week. It doesn't mean you take a bye week from primo hoagies. And in fact, a little bit later on today, we're going to give away to the best caller a $100 Primo gift card. See, the Primos are the best. So not only are they the best hoagies in town, by far, all right? They use that, they slice the perfect Thuman deli meats and cheeses razor thin, and then they fold them over the piled high on that seeded roll that are baked, those rolls baked daily. In every store. It's the same taste. My grandmother used to go get Primos for treats for us. She would go to the original Rittner Street, and there were the treats. And it's the same taste. It's amazing how they've done that. Just go to PrimoHoagies.com, and you'll say what I've always said. It's not just a hoagie. It's a Primo.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
On this Wednesday morning. All right. Listen, I'm thrilled our next guest. Everybody sit tight as we take inventory. No better guy to take inventory particularly with those ailing woes at wide receiver. We have talked to him, but he knows this sport inside and out, every position. That's right. Jason Avant on the Comcast Business Hotline. What's up, Jay?
Yo, cuz. How you doing,
sir? My main man. Yo, you know what's crazy? My little boy is having his birthday party at your place.
I'm excited about it.
Your trampoline? Right. I didn't even know that. I didn't have no idea. I just found
out. I'm excited. We have a great time.
That's cool. That's a good spot. I heard great things about it.
Save Lawrence Trampoline Park. We love anyone to come out and try us. We do way more than trampolines, Ninja Warrior, rock climbing, arcade, VR, everything. Birthday parties, corporate events.
The VR too. I took the real little one to the VR place one time, and we had a great time. That stuff's awesome. The VR stuff.
Yeah, it's great, man. It's entertaining, man. You need to give your mind a break sometime from all the work.
Yeah, brother. All right, so the mindless stuff now is aside. All the pleasantries aside here, we got to figure out what's going on with this team. And what would you do right now, knowing you had no Deshaun? What's your answer for this receiving core?
Well, there's only one thing that you really can do now. So because you allowed yourself to be in a position to depend on Deshaun in this situation, and I'll go back. Let me take a step back. Okay, so this is where, you know, players coach and, you know, valuing the player's opinion over the medical mindset, you know, kind of hurts you. So if Doug goes out and is more of a, you know, a disciplinarian, you say, hey, Deshaun, either you get surgery or we have to put you on IR because we can't allow you to handicap the rest of our year depending on, you know, your body to recover when we know that you're 32 years old, right? So now you put yourself in a position because you didn't do that to be scavengers. Now you have to go in and look, see whose players have been injured on PUP and try to get someone.
That's a great word,
too. One of their guys come back, you know, so you're scavengers now. You're looking across the league and see, okay, was their guy hurt earlier in the year? Is he coming back now? They're going to cut one of their guys on the roster. Maybe we can get that guy now, a guy that you really don't want, but you're in this position because you didn't have the opportunity to get Emmanuel Sanders because you're depending on Deshaun Jackson.
Wow, that's brilliant. Brilliant. You're a scavenger now.
You turn into a scavenger.
Any of these, like, bottom dwellers, like the, you know, you're going to go pick up? Anybody interested? Like, you interested in any of these guys? J.J. Nelson, Jordy Nelson, the kid, there's that kid Jennings that the bro was talking about who got cut from Seattle, who was a fourth-round pick. There's not enough room. Anybody interested at all?
Yeah, so like the name that people, you know, love J.J. Nelson just because he's fast, but J.J. Nelson can't catch, mm-hmm. right? So do you add another guy that struggles with catching the ball to a receiver core that already has problems catching the ball and, you know, is rated last in the league when it comes to drops? So I don't think that's the solution. Jordan Matthews, I know that they brought him in. He's going to at least have a rapport with Carson Wentz, so that's good. But they're going to need some speed. I was kind of disappointed that Torrey Smith turned them down. Yeah. A report said he turned them down because Torrey can run even at his age. He still can run. The other guys, Jordy Nelson, he's recovering from injuries and different things like that. I don't think that there is like a viable option the rest of this year. The thing that you have to do is do what New England did when they had Hernandez and they had Gronkowski.
Yeah.
You got to make Goddard and you have to make Ertz your number one option and use Miles Sanders as James White. So now you're playing small ball and you're just giving the receivers the leftovers rather than making them the feature. So you just have to revamp the way that you think about passing the football. Run it through your tight ends, run it through the running back, and then put, you know, Alshon Jeffrey, give him 3-4 targets a game, and then everyone else is just, you know, when you get the ball, when it was third or fourth read, you know, but not important at all.
Yeah, I hear you. And See, we're talking about taking inventory today. Jason Avant with us on the Comcast Business Hotline. And so playing that small ball, and I agree, that's kind of what you have to do. The only thing is, your defense good enough to get you where you want to go? Like, that's, see, you know, look at Baltimore. Baltimore could play that style, and they're dynamic too, but Baltimore could play a style of run the ball and grind it. They also have a great defense to complement that. The Eagles' defense is built to have a lead.
True. Yeah, so do I think that, yeah, so we're going to have to depend on the run game, and the more you practice the run, the better your defense gets at it, right? So the Eagles wanted to start this season as a prolific passing offense. Deshaun gets hurt, they're not prolific anymore, and they're not explosive anymore. So you adapt and you adjust. They have to practice against each other and practice. And the more you can put, you know, and practice the run game, like instead of just passing passing drills in practice, let's start creating some live drills where the defense is starting to see, you know, maybe a tight end leading up into the hole, or Jordan Howard leading up to the hole with Miles Sanders behind him, so they can learn how to be physical. That's how defenses become physical. The reason the Ravens' defense is physical is they had to practice against the Ravens' offense. So I think that it can work, but even, you know, the small ball game with the tight ends, like passing, I don't necessarily think that you have to be, you know, a small ball passing attack with those tight ends because they can run. You just have to put them in more situations. Put Miles Sanders on a go route versus a linebacker.
Yeah, yeah.
Put him on a post route versus a linebacker. Some creativity, and Doug has to do that. This is this time to do a self-scout this time of the year.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
You have this bye week. You're always scouting the opponent. This is your time as a coach to see what you do well, what you do badly, poorly, and figure it out. And then start targeting the guys that has been productive. Zach Ertz historically has been productive. Forget all of the nonsense of Carson's favorite and all that stuff. If he's the only one that's going to get open consistently, him and Goddard, throwing the ball despite the wishes of, you know, Alshon Jeffrey and the others.
I'm with you. I think you're right. And that's one of the reasons why we're taking inventory, is that bye week is always self-scout. And this is the only way. And I think you're right. I think the rest of the season is on Doug. And if Doug can figure out something, and really figure out the start of games too. Like, you got to be better in the first quarter. So that leads me now to Carson, because now Carson has taken a ton of shrapnel this year. There was a caller this morning who said that Carson Wentz was exposed, which I just don't get, but maybe I'm missing something. What's your view and your take on Wentz for the first nine games of the year?
Carson has been the victim of a lot of bad receiver play at times. And then he's also missed a bunch of throws. And we can't, there's always like give and take when it comes to bad and good, right? So when the quarterback does great, everyone praises him.
Yeah.
When he does bad, everyone jumps on his, you know, case. But when receivers do bad, some of it is the quarterback, not all of it. Most of this has just been bad receiver play and not catching the football, because, you know, even Alshon this past game, the two third down drops, those balls are catchable balls. The one in Atlanta for Nelson Aguilar, you can't get an easier pass in the NFL than that ball. So he's actually shown up in some of the moments that I've questioned him in the past. This year, he's shown up. So I think that he's been the victim of some really bad receiver play. But there are times, like at the end of the Green Bay game, where you just have a 10-yard out to throw Alshon Jeffrey, so Aaron Rodgers don't get the ball back and go down and win the game, which he should have won. So you have to make a throw like that. Streaking down the field, Alshon Jeffrey last game on the right side, you have to make those throws. Darren Sproles over the middle this last game on third down, you have to make those throws, especially when the team is gaining momentum like the Bears that had a big play with a 53-yard gain. If you can stunt that momentum in any way, it helps your team. So I don't think that he should be criticized from the aspect that he's not doing a good enough job. We just want him to do $100 million job, you know, and that's being and making the guys around you better in every way. I think that Carson can do a better job at ball placement. I think he can do a better job at knowing where the ball is going to based on the coverage. There's times where you look at it and you say, hey, Alshon Jeffrey has bump man. He has press coverage. Everybody else has off coverage. Why would you throw the ball to the guy that's pressed? It's going to be harder for him to get open when the guy's off. Throw it to the guy that's off. That happened multiple times over these last three or four games. So he has to become better at decision making and also ball placement.
What's the relationship between the play call and that as well? Because you know there's certain guys that are running dummy routes, certain guys that where the ball's supposed to go there.
Well, in those situations, you as a quarterback are taught, okay, if it's cover one, you read this side of the field.
So you're going to change it, right?
If it's zone coverage, you read this side of the field. If everything is equal, you take the off coverage over the bump coverage because off coverage is a lot easier to pass on than bump coverage.
Yeah.
So there's different things like that that you know as a quarterback. Based on, like, the coverage, the progression changes. So those are the things that Carson has to get.
So you're saying he needs to get better pre-snap.
Yeah, it's like those are the things that he has to get better. And understanding, like, personnel. Like, if I have everyone's equal, I know that Zach Ertz is going to get open better than Nelson Aguilar or Alshon Jeffrey. And that's the thinking part of the game. I would say this is that I didn't get many balls, but Donovan knew in critical situations and on third down, no matter if I was first in the progression or fourth in the progression, that Jason has a higher chance of winning on this route in this situation than Deshaun did or Jeremy Maclin did. So he would say, okay, I know what the coach said, but I know that he's going to get open, so I'm going to throw him the ball. And you have to know that as a quarterback. And that's a part of just knowing and feeling the player in the game.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's fair. Yeah, pre-snap is where, especially if you want to be Peyton Manning, you better be Peyton Manning pre-snap and know where to go with the football before the thing snapped. My only thing is, when we're talking about this, and it's why I don't give him as much blame, because I see guys making catches around the league that are absurd. Like, I mean, on Monday night, right, you saw Golden Tate, one hand, toe tap, 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 inbounds, goal line. You're like, you see it all over football, all over the league. I watch more league stuff than anything, and I see great receiver play. And all I see here is no one makes a catch, and most of the time they're making drops.
True, and that's why I won't blame Carson. Like, I'm giving you what Carson can do better.
Yeah.
I'm not giving you like I'm gonna make it so now when you talk about the receiver play, I think that's like our biggest issue. It's, you know, one of our bigger issues, corner play and receiver play, big, really big issues. But yes, guys make plays, and that's what you do. You make a play, and this is what the ability to make a play, not just the can of corn plays, when you're running down the field and a quarterback throws a ball directly to you, that's a play as a pro you're supposed to make. Making plays is when the defense is better, when the cornerback has better leverage, when it's a 50-50 ball, you go up with better athleticism, better preparation, and you make the play despite the odds. That's why people pay Alshon Jeffrey what he gets paid, Nelson Aguilar what he gets paid. They get paid more because they're going to make the above standard play, and we're not seeing that as fans. We want plays to be made like the rest of the NFL.
Yeah.
I'm seeing guys like you say make one hand plays, to make it contested catches.
Well, just
one
make
ball.
A couple catches. That's a couple.
Exactly.
Expand your catch radius. Yeah.
Exactly. Nelson Aguilar had a chance on the left sideline this past game, threw a jump ball to him, you know, and Prince Mukamura's on him. Like, those are plays that most people are like, oh, he didn't drop it, but that was good pass defense. When you get paid $10 million, one-on-one balls you're supposed to come up with. And me, I would go to the film room, you know, and we would sit there and evaluate that. Like, hey, Jason, my coach would be like, hey, like, most people won't say anything about this, but look, we're paying you extra to make this play. We can get a guy that's a free agent to not make this play, but we're paying you a couple extra $1 million so you can make this play. So I expect you to make this play.
Yeah.
I wonder if we're having those conversations with us.
Yeah, it's great stuff. Listen, Jason, I love talking to you, man. You're awesome. You know how much I love you.
I love talking to you too, cuz. Always.
You're the best, brother. I'll see you soon, all right? Enjoy your bye week a little bit. Relax.
I'll be sitting watching football. That's it. I love this game.
We love you, buddy. Take care, Jace.
All right, take it easy, man.
There he is, Jason Avant on the Comcast Business Hotline. Good stuff. I mean, he breaks it down, man. He's breaking it down. And now, Jamar wants to talk about Carson. You just heard Jason. Let's talk about it. Jamar, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, brother?
What's up, cuz?
How are you, pal?
I'm all right. So me and my kid brother, we were talking last night about, mid-level average quarterback, right? Now, I don't think Carson is elite. Do I like what he brings? Physical attributes, yeah, but he's not elite. But with that being said, let's think about this, right? I'll give you just a couple of other mid-level to average quarterbacks, right? Kirk Cousins, who's throwing to Stephon Diggs.
Right.
And think of Mayfield, who's throwing to Landry and Odell, okay? Who's Carson throwing to? I mean, I don't literally need you to answer. I just want the people out there.
You're dead right. I mean, like, and here's the thing.
We're spoiled in Philly, and we are. We got happy because back in the day, we got to the 4 NFC championships with no wide receivers. Everybody needs to understand those days are gone.
Yeah,
it's a different league,
different type
of athlete,
yeah.
Different type of offenses, bro.
Yeah, I mean, it's basketball on grass now. You got to have real receivers.
Yeah, you'll never win if you don't have edge rushers, receivers, and defensive backs. You are not going to win.
I agree.
It doesn't matter what you draw up. It doesn't matter if Frank Reich is here. It just doesn't matter. It's a moot point, guys. If you don't have dynamic players.
Except somehow they figured out to win the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
That's another thing, guys. That's 2017, guys. Half the team were different athletes then. Jason Kelce, younger.
Yeah, I get you. And they still look. The defense still wasn't any good. I mean, that's for sure. Thanks, brother. I appreciate it. No, you're dead right, Jeff in Camden. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic, Jeffrey.
Yo, what's up, man?
What's up, Jeff?
Chilling, man. Just doing a little bit of fog cleaning. I know it's called spring cleaning, but you got to do it in the fall sometimes too.
Yeah, you got that right.
Yeah, I was in the basement, man, and I found a bunch of old magazines, but they weren't porn. They were Maxim. I wasn't looking for porn, though, because, who's looking for porn when
right,
you can find it on your phone? Not right. That I do that either, because right. I don't watch porn.
Hello.
But how about the best is the I used to get the Maxim and the Details. Remember Details magazine?
There's this magazine called Jet, and there was like this section called
the
Beauty
Jet.
Of the Week.
I would
line up all the beauties of the week.
Yeah, I remember the Jet. Sure.
Yeah, man. So back to football here. He had Jason on. Why don't you ask him if he wanted to play? I'm sure he can probably beat Jordan Matthews in a foot race, couldn't he?
I hear you. Go ahead, Tunis. Tell the story.
I asked if he got a call yet. When he called in, he said, no, they know not to call me. I said, dude, you're better than Matt Collins at this point.
Yeah.
He agreed with me.
Way better than Matt Collins. Matt Collins can't run a route. No, seriously, he can't run a route, but he knows how. All right, if he had ran his route, he probably wouldn't have pulled down a guy that he should. I mean, that guy shouldn't have been blocked. That was obviously a counter, some form of a counter. So that would have been free. Why is he grabbing anybody when he should have been running the route?
I know. I hear you. Right on.
All right. And real quick, man, with baseball, I mean, obviously Girardi's the right coach to be here. Analytics, I guess it has its place, but I don't think you should overload anything. Anytime you overload anything, that's when somebody takes their foot off the gas a little bit for you to watch your full self go forward with your momentum. Because you are supposed to be balanced. That's the way it is, and everything with life, balance. Diet, balanced thinking, yin and the yang. You know where I'm going with this.
That's wisdom right there, Jeff.
Thank you, sir.
Wisdom, big time. You're the man, brother.
Hey, Aunt Nye, you will always be the man with this here sports talk on the midday. Feel me? Don't let nobody tell you different. If they do, then Sal Chunas will take care of them.
Love you, brother. Take it easy, man. 610-632-0975. A couple open lines so you can squeak through. 610-632-0975. Doug is on the clock right now. So what grade do you give Doug right now? What grade do you give him as we self-scout and we take inventory over the first half? And I want to get back to Carson a little bit with what Jason said and then a couple of the callers as well. Let's talk a little beer, though. I like beer. Rhonda, I like beer. Rhonda, our amazing imaging woman. I do. I like beer a lot. So the problem is, you know, caloric intake. I'm trying. But sometimes I like too much beer. So I choose Corona, which is a great beer. Great, refreshing beer. If you're watching Carbs and Calories, check this one out, too. Corona Light, only 99 calories, 5 grams of carbs. Corona Premier, 90 calories, 2.6 grams of carbs, and the Corona Premier is still tastes like beer, man. It's tasty. It's good. Corona is a proud sponsor of the Sixers, so whether you watch the game at the Wells Fargo Center at home or one of our Sixers pregame broadcasts, choose Corona. This Friday before the Sixers take on Denver, join Devon and D at the Trap Tavern for the Sixers pregame broadcast starting at 8 and 6 o'clock. Enjoy 350 Corona Light drafts. Enjoy this Chunas on site giving prizes away, including Sixers tickets and a chance to win a trip to San Francisco to see Sixers Golden State in March. Check it out. Sixers Fanatic pregame show live from the Trap Tavern presented by Corona this Friday starting 6 o'clock. For details, go to the events page 975thefanatic.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
11 o'clock hours brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. Hey, don't forget, listen, best caller, and we will do this throughout the course of the show. We'll receive a $100 Primo gift card. About that? That's a lot of Diablos right there, the $100 Primo gift card. And if you're watching the game with friends, don't forget, watch it with style with Primo Hoagies. Order online, PrimoHoagies.com. Not just a hoagie, it's a Primo. All right, couple things. One, we are doing the Doug's on the clock, and we're going to switch it, but Doug's on the clock for his grade. And where are we at with him? I want to know where you're at with him. Jason Avant said, listen, he's been the victim. Carson Wentz has been the victim of poor receiver play. But he also brought up some pre-snaps deficiencies. Chunas, where are you at there with Carson?
With Carson, I agree with Jason about the receivers. I think we all do, right? I think everybody's on the same page there. I still have Carson at like A-, right? I don't even want to go in the B range with Carson. I think he's playing very well for what he's been handed. I get what Jason's talking about. Remember that there was that play against the Cowboys where there was the cornerback coming in with the blitz and he just completely missed it and didn't call it out at all, and that's why he got sacked. But from what I'm seeing, Carson Wentz is making the throws he's supposed to make. It's not his fault that people are dropping him. I brought up the miss to Darren Sproles last week, but every once in a while he misses a throw. Does that make him a C quarterback? Does that make him a third-tier quarterback?
Like, here's the other thing. A guy, Jamar, said, you know, I think it's clear he's not elite. Oh, and somebody else called him Matthew Stafford. First of all, Matthew Stafford's having a great year. But forget that for a second. I know he meant it as a slight. The thing with Wentz that you don't know is that if you don't have receivers, you're not playing in a system that's really accentuates his strengths, well, then, yeah, he wouldn't be elite. How do you know he's not an elite talent with talented receivers around him and a game plan that's completely vertical?
Yeah.
I mean, that's my whole argument. How we don't know how good Carson is because you got to see him with a snippet with DeSean Jackson. Now, granted, it was against the Redskins in the first game of the season, but he looked pretty damn potent in that moment. Now, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe that was just a flash. Maybe that doesn't mean anything. But all I know is he looked good with having DeSean Jackson, who's 32 years old, stretching the field.
Yep, and you were saying it for weeks about going vertical. Dan Orlovsky, we had him on, what, last week?
Yeah, he parroted everything I said.
He basically said exactly what you said. He said Carson Wentz is not a good dink and dunk quarterback. He is a guy that needs to go 15 yards downfield. And he said, you know who else isn't a good dink and dunk quarterback and needs to go 15 yards downfield? Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes. And he compared him to those two quarterbacks.
I know.
But yeah, no, he's not elite.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We're so quick to just say, well, this is what he is. This guy's a fraud. I've heard in the last 2 days how Carson Wentz and Ben Simmons has either been exposed, a fraud, not elite.
Well, you'll never win with them. Yep, we've been hearing it.
I got my buddy of mine, Andy, right? The Bean. The Bean texted me today. He says, yo, Bo, I would trade Ben Simmons for Tyrese Maxey right now.
Come on.
If Simmons doesn't start hitting 15-foot shots, Sixers need to trade him after they lose in the postseason again because he's too easy to defend. So I go, come on, man. He had one bad game, right? I can live with missed shots. He watches the game, sets screens, posts up smaller guy, runs up stats against weaker teams. I want a title. Not beating the West without Ben. No beating the West without Ben putting up 20 every night. Now, I get the latter part of it. But really? Like, it's your six games into the flipping season.
And they're 5-1. And he played well in those five games.
Like, tonight, quite frankly, like, I'm going to watch a game tonight praying that he has a good game. What is it about us? We wanted to do this yesterday. But what is it about us? And is it just being right that we want to feast on guys? Like, we just want to swarm and start nibbling. Like, we're a swarm of bed bugs. Or what are they? Those... Like, we're just the mosquitoes. There's a bug I was trying to come up with. That's one of these nasty little bugs that they bite. And
the greenhead in Brigantine.
Yeah. That's the worst.
That's terrible.
I go see Toots down there, and I pray. My buddy Bobby's down there. I pray that the wind is, there's a wind. Keep them away, those damn things. You can't go. You can't enjoy yourself.
Now, if you're sitting on the beach and it's the beach breeze, you're done.
The bay breeze.
Bay breeze.
Yeah.
You're smacking yourself all day.
Yeah, it's like getting stabbed with little needles. But what is it about us that right away, we can't wait? Can't wait. He's not elite. Like, really, how do you not know he's elite? Like, I agree he's not elite right now playing in this offense. With these piker receivers, I don't know. Give me I might ask you for, Jerry Rice and Randy Moss. But give him something credible. Then tell me he's not elite. Then let's talk about it. But how the hell you judge? Because it's all relatable. So you're Carson Wentz, and you had no confidence in anybody making a play for you. So it affects the way you play. So maybe you're not going to be so sharp, certain things. You're fretting every play. Somebody going to make a play for me? You're stuck with Nelson Agholor, really. And you expect, and you're going to say that he's not elite. And in the Simmons crowd, I mean, geez, it was the first game. First bad game he played. And by the way, dude had 7 steals. Like, you're in the game partly because he can D up. Like, I know you know, it's not sexy, and you want him to drop 25. I get it. But geez.
They wanted to beat Devin Booker. And unfortunately, it was against Devin Booker.
Yo, dude, it's so funny you said that. Right away, Devin Booker. Devin Booker, way better player. Way better player. Well, they're different players. Devin Booker is a scorer. He's got a smooth shot. That's what he is. He's a different player than Simmons. The hate is sometimes crazy. Like, we're insane. What is it? You know?
No. I said this. I talked about this like about a year ago. And I said people were so obsessed with guys like TJ McConnell because they didn't expect anything out of him. And he gave a little more than what you expected. Whereas Ben Simmons, they expect perfection. They expect perfection out of Carson Wentz. And when they're not 100% perfect, they want to nitpick on everything.
I mean, and say what you want. Embiid, it might be the most dominant force in basketball since Shaq, right?
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? He's not above criticism, right? How many times he'll get it in the ear? 12 o'clock, you're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.